Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, and I'm going to just to introduce tonight some thoughts of where I'd like to go for the remainder of the month on Sunday evenings as we have these together. And I'm dealing with the subject of one word. Actually, it's two words put together in the Hebrew. It's hallelujah. I would imagine that you've used that word a few times over the past month. In the South especially, anything that happens good, if your favorite college team wins football, hallelujah! All right? If your soccer team wins out at Yak, hallelujah! We find out that somebody paid our bill at McDonald's, paying it forward. You ever seen that before? Have you ever been in the McDonald's and someone paid for your meal, but then you found out you had to pay for the next one behind you? And you get the first news, somebody paid for meal. Hallelujah! It's a word that we use, but I don't think, and I know for me personally, did not realize and know that it's a name of God. Hallel, Yah, okay, Jehovah. It is a tetragrammaton with a prefix. It is a name of God. And when you realize that, it helps you to understand the usage of the word in the book of Psalms. Psalm 100 to Psalm 106 are the last six psalms of the fourth book of the Psalms. And they focus on God. They focus on the weakness of man and the greatness of God. Psalm 104, right before our psalm here, gives the story of creation. Walks you through how great God is, how intricate His creation is, all from His mind, spoken into existence. You come to Psalm 105, and you see the greatness of God in behalf of the nation of Israel. And certain characters are pulled out of history, Joseph and Moses, are pulled out of there and showing how good God was in bringing two people, one, unwillingly, Joseph was a slave who was taken away from his family and sold into slavery, brought to Egypt, and there God allows him to blossom and grow, become one of the viziers in the land, one of the leaders of the land, who was able to take care of Jacob and his family, Israel, able to take care of them, bringing them out of the land of famine and into the land of plenty in Egypt. Wonderful story that's given to us in Psalm 105. And then we come to the last book or psalm of the fourth book of the Psalms, or five books total. And we see there, given to us in all of its ugliness, the human heart and the failures of the nation of Israel, and the failures of the people, and the failures of those that had been given the truth and had turned their backs on that. You know what I've learned? Just looking at these, Psalm 100 to 106, God is honest. He's honest. He tells it like it is. Now, He could tell it like it was in Psalm 105, but He chooses not to dwell on the negative aspect of it there. He'll touch on that in Psalm 106. But what He does is shows His greatness and His goodness to us. Hallelujah means to express praise to whom? Yah. Yahweh. Jehovah. Yahweh in the Hebrew language is four letters, four consonants put together, no vowels. Only names of God have four letters. Every other word in the Hebrew language is three letters. It'll have rough breathers and jots and tittles that change the meaning of the words and gives you an idea of the context. But when you see a fourth letter added and it's all consonants, it's referring to God. It's what we call a tetragrammaton, a name of God. Hallel, Yah. Two words put together means to give praise and glory and worship to the second one, pointing to Yah, to God. And so when you see the name Alleluia in the Psalms or wherever it appears in the Bible, it's a reference to praising God. And you'll find that the very last verse of Psalm 104, we have the idea or the word Hallelujah. You see that in the first verse of Psalm 105. You see it in the last verse, and it's actually mentioned four times in our psalm before us. But what it is doing is it is sharing there what it means to praise God. Things that you should praise God for. We've just spent time praising the Lord for His goodness. Last night, Mr. O'Pager posted on Facebook a picture, I think it was last night, of the fish fry out here. And all of a sudden, all the memories of my childhood came rushing back. I remember the wooden tables that Mr. Winsat and Mr. Jones put together every year on the playground out there. And they would string the lights between the trees. And then the familiar smell of the oil, peanut oil, cooking, and the hush puppies and the mullet. And I would see over there in my mind's eye Gator Farrington, Roy Adams, and several other dignitaries that you would always count on every year. There would be near the cookers a place where people donated their pies and they were put on shelves, wooden shelves. And you would go and I think you could buy them or they would cut them up and put them on your plate. I don't know all the different things that were done. But I actually walked out today onto the playground and I found the place where that table would have been. The two pine trees are still there. They've survived all the hurricanes and cut downs that we've had. They're still out there on the playground, looking down toward Field 8, looking down where the old tennis courts used to be. A lot of memories there, too. I failed a lot of basketball quizzes in PE down there because I couldn't shoot a basketball. I wasn't strong enough to get the ball up to 12 feet, and I didn't do so hot in PE there. But I remember all of that, and then the people that were involved in my life. An Earl Farrington, a Roy Adams, who always sat right in this area, right here. We had a plaque that Kristen Brock had made to in memory of Roy Adams. But Roy Adams was special to me growing up. He was one of the kindest men I ever knew. I had the privilege of preaching his funeral when he passed away in 1988, I believe it was. Just a man who loved the Lord, faithful every week to the services. One of Dr. Hobbs' uncles, I believe, right? And just a faithful man. And every time we would come to church, you would always see him there. Never missed. Always there. If he missed, it was because he was deathly ill. Dr. Hobbs took me one time over to his house. I was stunned at the simplicity of how he lived. When you walked up to his house, it was not painted nicely. Inside his house was very barren. Out in the back was an old cane, sugar cane mill that he had tied an old lawnmower to, and he would go out there and it would go around in circles. He'd put it in gear. It would go around and he would harvest sugar cane and put it through there and would get the juice from it so he could make his syrups and so forth like that. And it was all there in my mind from one picture. Thank you very much. It all came back. You know what the Lord says in this particular psalm? Remember. You know what God has gifted us with? Now, maybe we have different levels of memory. I have a very vivid memory. I remember little details. I remember the things of the nights that were involved with fish fry and the big moonwalk that would be out here on there with the space pillow, where everybody would jump up and down and we would beg for tickets for mom and dad to let us go do that. And then being in our uniforms and going upstairs at the field house to get our pictures made. It was the biggest thing in the world, fish fry time. But more importantly, it was the people that were involved. Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs, Mr. and Mrs. O'Pager, my mom and dad, and Earl and Von Seal Farrington, and I could go down, Fran and Rich, all the people that were here at that time that were impactful in my life. And I'm thankful tonight I can remember that. But more importantly, to thank God for it. Before the service, I was over at Mike and Pat's house, and that's all she talked about, was all the memories of growing up in this ministry and being a part of that, and how she wished she could be at church every Sunday, and because of her health situation, she can't come. But she has the memories. This psalm is one of remembrance, to sit down and stop all the nonsense and remember. Can we do that? We've got so much business. We're run all the time. We're just run. Do we stop and remember the goodness of God? He walked them down memory trail in Psalm 105 to show the people of Israel, David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to just shout a hallelujah at the beginning, at the end. For what? Because the lost sheep had come back, he had found it? No. Because of the goodness and greatness of his God. I want to read. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I'm going to read a portion of it tonight. We're going to read down through verse 16. And I want you to just think for just a moment. All of us have knowledge of the Scriptures to some degree. He just goes through and starts plucking out things from the Scriptures. That is something so wonderful, Christian. Are you putting the Scriptures in your heart and mind on a daily basis so that one day, when you can't read anymore and your eyesight's gone, you still have a memory of the Scriptures that can lift your heart and draw you close to Jesus Christ? That's what the Psalms are all about. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing songs unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. You know what He's just done in these five verses? He's given us 10 things. 10 words. They're action words. Give thanks. And then the last one is verse 5. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Verse 6. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, He is the Lord our God, His judgments in all the earth. I want you to know something about verse 6. I never thought about this before, but do you know that the Gentile nations are part of the seed of Abraham? That means us. And then he gets specific and he says in verse 6, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, whose name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Jacob, all right, I gave you the answer. Don't you like teachers that give you the answer? Amen. Yeah, I love those kind of teachers. Just give me the answer. I don't want to have to work for it. Just tell me what it is, all right? So he says, ye seed of Abraham, we're part of the family of Abraham. Gentile nations came from Abraham. And ye chosen, the children of Israel, the ones that were plucked out among all the nations of the world. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant He made with Abraham, and His oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel. Again, reference to Jacob, but also to the descendants of Jacob, Israel, for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. Now we're going to stop right there. That sounds like a negative comment, doesn't it? I brought famine. I brought about famine, and you were affected by that. But did he destroy them with it? No. It was a time of testing. It was a time where he was challenging them to remember their God. Do you know God does that many times? He'll bring things into our lives to cause us to remember Him. It's easy in the good times to forget Him. And so the Lord will bring a challenge into your life to cause you and me to remember Him. We're going to build upon this as we look in the next few weeks at this particular passage of Scripture. But I want you to think. He begins and ends. He says, praise the Lord. Alleluia. That's the word that's there. Tetragrammaton with a prefix. Praise Yahweh. The last verse. Praise Yahweh. This is not just an adjective. It's a noun. Do you know the difference? One is a proper noun, a name. The other is simply a description. We are to give praise to the name of God. We are to remember Him. There should not be a day that goes by in a Christian's life where we don't stop to remember Him, to think of Him and all of His greatness. 10 words used in those first 5 verses to set the stage. They're like climbing a ladder, so to speak. Give thanks is the first step. And then you make it up all the way to the top floor where He says there, remember. Remember. The blessing of memory, folks, is one of the glorious things that makes life so wonderful, does it not? Just to go back and remember. But especially to think of our God and to remember that before the foundation of the world, He loved you. He thought of you. Your soul was already in place and He loved you. And He determined, I'm going to send my Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. We cannot even imagine how to describe that kind of love. And so this evening, as we look at this time of Thanksgiving in the month of November, where our nation has a day set aside for Thanksgiving, the Christian should set aside every day to remember how great and glorious our God is. I would challenge you, between now and next Sunday, would you look up the 10 words that are mentioned there in the first 5 verses? They're basically verbs. Look them up and find out the focus of each one of those 10 words, and you'll find it to be one person. It is Jehovah. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your goodness. I thank You for the beauty of Your Word. Lord, it just abounds with glory. It abounds with wonder. It abounds with instruction as it reflects upon Thee, our great God. Lord, I pray as we go into this new week that we would not focus on all the things that the culture focuses on, trying to make ends meet. When is the government going to get back in business? Am I going to be able to make my flight? all the different things that people are thinking about that make up the culture in this world, which really doesn't matter to a hill of beans. It's our knowledge of you that matters. Lord, would you bring about a course correction in our hearts and minds as we spend so much time thinking about other things other than thee? Lord, you've called us in verse 5 to remember. Help us, dear Father, to do that each and every day. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.